something that a lot of people are grappling with right now is the job search. One thing you might not realize as the nervous applicant is that the person interviewing you may be more nervous than you are.
Really?
Again,
why?
Whether you call it reduction in workforce or right-sizing or downsizing or whatever, it seems now that the rule is if somebody leaves, his or her duties will be divided among surviving employees. So the person who's making the hire probably had to fight to keep this position in the budget. So believe you me, the person who's hiring you cannot afford to make a mistake. And the most important thing you can do is give him or her comfort, not just that they're doing the right thing.
Interesting.
But that hiring you won't be doing the wrong thing. Believe me, they're playing defense now.
Give the HR person comfort.
To the person on the other side of the desk, there is a world of difference between somebody who says, I need a job, and somebody who conveys, I want to work. And I know that sounds like a nuance, but everybody needs a job. You know, there is a desperation to that. In the job interview, you will be judged more on the questions you ask than the answers you give, because there's a double line out the door of other people who want to take the interview. But if you come in and seem like you've done your homework, seem like you understand the concerns of the concern of which you want to become part, you're going to differentiate yourself from all the other help. I need a job applicant.
Tell us about social media.
If you're a job applicant, you used to worry about your references being checked, and you still should. Don't assume that they're only going to call the references you provide, because the reason that the person hiring you has him or herself survived is because they're diligent and they're thorough, and they're going to go detective on you and find everybody that they can whom you've ever worked for and ask the most fundamental question, would you hire him or her again? So there's that. But now, in the age of social media, assume you will be Googled. And about your Facebook page, I'm sure you were having a ball last winter down in Jamaica, but that shot of you guzzling from the Popov vodka jug handle size bottle, you might want to scrub that. They used to call it ego search, where you type your name in the search box and see what comes up. I swear it's survival search now.
What is it that you need to do?
No matter what the conversation is you're trying to have, you want to seem like the opposite of spam. Most communication today, I swear, is like in Charlie Brown Christmas when the grown-ups talk and you hear that muted trombone. Our entire day is this forest of wah, wah, wah. So if you're sending an email, for instance, the subject line of the email you are sending is the equivalent of the envelope in snail mail. And when you go home tonight and reach into your mailbox, you will demonstrate what I'm describing, because you're going to get a handful of stuff and you will proceed to the wastebasket, where at a glance at the outside of each envelope, you make a snap judgment as to whether to throw it in the wastebasket or invest another 3 seconds in opening it up. And when you do, you will then subject it to an equally unforgiving glance. Once you open it, is what's there worth continuing to read? So we're always angling for another 5 seconds, which leads to another minute, which leads to another minute. So be the opposite of spam. When you write an email, the most important sentence in the whole email is the subject line. Make sure it's short enough that it won't get truncated. I'm a big believer in using the first name of the recipient in the subject line. Dick, thanks for inviting me on your show. That'll just jump out, because we're all getting hundreds of emails a day. And if we believe half the stuff we got, we'd be inheriting millions from some barrister in Nigeria. Yeah, if I believed half the stuff, you'd be hearing a dial tone by now, and I'd be down on the beach lighting cigars with $100 bills. But this is what we're trying to stand out from. Even in our business, you and I came up through the ranks as announcers. And the irony was that we're all trying to sound alike in a world that rewards people who sound different. And just recently, we celebrated the culmination of Andy Rooney.
Mm-hmm. right.
You know, who sounded different than everyone else. And I think what we're trying to do is stick out in a world where too much blends in.
Has the way we communicate with each other changed over the last 10 years? And if so, how and why?
Well, it has. Obviously, things are quicker, more staccato. We used to write letters, and now we text, because email is just too slow. But I think the fundamentals matter more than ever. The way that Homo sapiens is wired favors people who, quote-unquote, make eye contact, even if it's not in person. I think that the most important thing that you can exercise when you're communicating in any fashion is empathy.
SurvivalSpeech.com. Holland Cook, thank you so much for joining us on this edition of Success Again.